Lord, would help me this evening and grant you prayerful attention. I'll direct you to a text you'll find in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 55, and read in verses 8 and 9. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 55, and read in verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What we have expressed here is a truth that the Lord's people have to prove in life. And we're slow learners of this truth, that God's thoughts are far above our thoughts, and that his ways are they're not our ways. And how often we make mistakes about his thoughts and his ways, and how often we would dictate to him. My mind has been in the life of Isaac for a few weeks, and I've had to consider today how in his life these words are so remarkably fulfilled. And as the Lord had helped me first this evening, I want to just draw out a few lessons from the life of Isaac as we read it together that illustrates this text. And as the Lord had helped me, that I might be able to bring some application. Or that the question might be, in your soul this evening, are your thoughts his thoughts? Are your ways his ways? Or are you thinking something different to what God is thinking? And are you seeking a different way to what God would have you go in? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. When we come to the account of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and indeed the whole of the Old Testament, we must remember it is the history of the covenant. It all speaks of the coming of that child, the seed of the woman, who the apostle speaks of, the seed singular, or only one, Saviour, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament is an account of how God worked out the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Down through the ages, many times, the coming of the Saviour may appear to have hung in doubt. Many times, the Lord's people may have thought that God had forgotten, that he'd forgotten his covenant and that everything was going to come to nothing. But God was faithful, and at last, Jesus was born at Bethlehem. And so we find so much of the Old Testament history is bound up in the line of Abraham, the line of Judah, the line of David, from whom the Saviour was to come. And that is no different that we find in the account of Isaac. Oh, Abraham needed a son. God had promised that by that son, the seed that should come from Abraham would be Abraham's salvation. And so we read how Abraham was given Isaac. And then Isaac needed a wife because Isaac needed a child. And you can read in the preceding chapter the wonderful way in how God provided a wife for Isaac. Wonderful answers to prayer. And everything brought about just so. But coming into our chapter this evening, we want firstly to notice, considering God's ways and God's thoughts, God's times are not always our times. And our times are not God's times. Oh, Jesus said, your time is always, my time is not yet. And when you read the end of the preceding chapter, how Rebekah was provided as a wife for Isaac, oh, wonderful answer to prayer. Surely then you expect the Lord to appear, and Isaac and Rebekah will have a child, and it will be a son, and it will be the son according to the promise, and God will be working his purposes out. But instead we find Rebekah and Isaac, they get married. And for 20 years, there are no children. Oh, friends, for 20 years, the promise of God, the promise that he'd given to Abraham, again, appeared to hang in the balance. Abraham had to wait for the birth of Isaac. And now Isaac and Rebekah had to wait for the Lord to give them the promised seed also. 20 years. Oh, we so often say, now. We expect the Lord to provide now. Perhaps he's given you a promise. You've got a word that you're pleading before the throne of grace. And you say, now, Lord. And perhaps the Lord has wonderfully answered your prayers. And it appears that he's bringing everything to pass. And you expect it now all to suddenly unfold in the next few days and weeks. But the weeks become months and the months become years. Oh, and the promise is still not fulfilled. And you begin to say, God has forgotten. Oh, God has forgotten his promise. He's unfaithful. No, my ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts your thoughts. Oh, God had promised, and the promise was to be fulfilled. But it is in God's time, not in man's time. Now you may say, why does God work like this? Friends, we know we read something in that account of Isaac. We read there that after 20 years, it appears, Isaac began to pray. Verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. Friends, sometimes the Lord is waiting for you to pray. The Lord is waiting for you to come to an end of your own resources and to look alone to him. You can read how Sarah, you can read how Rachel, Jacob's wife, when the Lord did not give them children, they sent their handmaid in that they might have some child by some other means. It was not the Lord's way. You can read how Rachel purchased Leah's mandrakes. Oh, that remedy that was thought to work in the case of infertility, but it was not the Lord's way. Oh, friends, are you trying other means this evening? Oh, you've got to wait upon the Lord. You've got to be made subject to his way, his time. Have you got to pray? And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Oh, friends, God's time is not our time. Our times are not God's times. Oh, well, how the Lord teaches us this. What a solemn lesson at times. What a painful lesson. But there's some comfort here. What he has promised will come to pass. The vision is for an appointed time, as he spoke by the prophet. Though it tarry, wait for it, it will come. Friends, the word of God will be fulfilled. And if you're pleading it this evening, it doesn't seem to be coming to pass. If you are tempted to give up, the word of God will be fulfilled. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts not our thoughts. We give up. We forget our word. We make promises. We forget our promises. But God is not like us. What God has said will come to pass. Oh, we judge God by ourselves. We think he's forgotten. Oh, we think that he's changed his mind. No, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways not your ways. Then, friends, secondly, we find in the account of Isaac the difference between what man thinks of as blessing and what God thinks of as blessing. We read together the sons of Ishmael. While Isaac and Rebekah have got no children, and the years roll by, Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, the son that was born from Hagar unto Abraham, he's blessed with 12 sons. And these 12 sons grow up, and they inherit that large portion of land they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur that is before Egypt, as thou goest towards Assyria. The Lord appears to bless Ishmael. Ishmael has everything he could ever want. And Isaac. Friends, Isaac, all he's got is a promise. He's a stranger in a land that doesn't belong to him. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, Paul says. Isaac never received the title deed to the land of Canaan. He had nothing but the promise of God. And God had promised that he should have an heir. And he hadn't got an heir. He hadn't got a son. All he got was the promise of God. Oh, you know, friends, the Lord's people, left to ourselves, we misjudge God. Go to Asaph. You'll find the same thing in Psalm 73. Asaph looks at the wicked and the Lord appears to be prospering them. They're doing well and everything is going well for them, while the Lord's people, they seem to have trouble and everything seems to go wrong for them and they've got nothing. And Asaph thinks it'd be better if he gave up religion and went and joined the world. But my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways not your ways, saith the Lord. You know, friends, we measure blessing quantitatively. So often we count up our blessings, we measure them. And we measure the blessings that the world have, we measure the blessings that the wicked have. And we think, Oh, they are more blessed than the Lord's people. But God doesn't measure blessings quantitatively. Oh, friends, he measures them qualitatively. Oh, there's only one Saviour, but in him. Oh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he says to his people, for all things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, but lose his soul? Ah, friends, what were Ishmael's 12 sons? What was all the land that they possessed? Ah, friends, they were not the son of promise. The promised land was not theirs. They did not know God. God was not their portion. Ah, friends, heaven. And perhaps I'll make a generalisation this evening, but taking, as Paul spiritualises between the son of the bondwoman and the son of the free. Our friends, heaven was not theirs, and Christ was not theirs. Oh, this evening, you may look at the world, and you may feel you've got nothing compared to them, but if you've got Christ, if you've got the promise of a kingdom, a throne, a crown in glory, our friends, you've got all things. All things. Oh, don't judge God by the way that man judges. Don't judge by the way the world judges. Oh, you can take other examples out of here. Oh, you know, we read there concerning Ishmael. He died in the presence of all his brethren. You know, friends, when Isaac died, there was one much loved member of the family not there. When Isaac died, Joseph was missing. Nobody knew where he was. They thought that he'd been killed by a bear or by a lion. Of course, there were those who knew round Isaac's deathbed, they knew where Joseph was. At least they knew that he had not died in the manner that they'd said he died. And here is Ishmael, all his brethren round his deathbed, all his family there. Friends, the world may appear to have everything go well for them while the Lord's people have trouble. But God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways not your ways. Although there was an absent one round the bed of Isaac, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Oh, the Lord was working out in Joseph, absent, the preservation of their life in time of famine. Oh, truly, those round the deathbed of Isaac were more blessed than those that were round the deathbed of Ishmael. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Then, friends, thirdly, one final example for our little case study of Isaac. Oh, when Isaac and Rebekah were given a child, when Rebekah conceived, there were twins in her womb. And she had to inquire of the Lord about that struggle that was going on within her. And the Lord told her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from my bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Oh, as we read in Romans, before these were even born, these two sons, before they'd done good or evil, God had said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. But poor Isaac. Now, friends, though God had spoken to Isaac and Rebekah, God had let them into that secret. God had revealed his mind concerning those two boys. And yet we read time and time again through the life of Isaac how Isaac loved Esau. He could not let Esau go. He loved Esau more than Jacob. He would have given Esau the blessing if he could have done. What was he doing? He was kicking against the will of God. Kicking against the sovereignty of God. Now God had spoken, but Esau was effectively saying, not so, Lord. Oh no, I prefer Esau. Save Esau. Give Esau the blessing, not Jacob. Oh, my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Oh, is there one here this evening that's kicking against the will of God? Perhaps God has revealed unto you what his will is. Our friends, in his word, but you don't want his word. His word speaks plainly as to what you should do, what is right in his sight, but you don't want it. Perhaps it is concerning your children. You've got your favourite child. And you look for signs of grace in them. And perhaps the rebel, the one that's caused you all the trouble, they are now showing signs of grace. But the one that's always appeared to choose that which is good, they still appear hard. Oh, you're kicking against it. That was what Esau was doing. That was what Isaac was doing, sorry, about Esau. Oh, friends, what solemn creatures we are. We put our thoughts above God's thoughts. Oh, we would dictate to him and say, not thy way, Lord, my way, the way that I want. Oh, friends, why do we do it? Because he has told us. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. We have the testimony of his saints in his word. As for God, his way is perfect. And yet we still try to dictate to him. Oh, these things, they're hard. Don't get me wrong. It's hard when it involves your children. And God has said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. But it's to get the right light on these things. Now, it's to see them in God's light. I was very struck recently by a quote of Spurgeon when somebody had said to him, they just could not understand how it could be written in Romans 9 that God hated Esau. How could God hate anybody? And that man had gave the reply. The greatest surprise to him was it was written in Romans 9 that God loved Jacob. Our friends, that scene, that in God's light. Oh, it's a marvel. It's a wonder this evening that God should have mercy on any. Now, what right have we to got to dictate to him in those matters? Now, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Well, we've seen a few examples in the case of Isaac. And oh, I would not hold up Isaac this evening and seek to put him down in your sight. I'm no better than Isaac. And how do you compare? Some of these things this evening. Are you trying to dictate the time to God? Are you trying to dictate to God what he should do? He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. There's nothing new under the sun. These are people of like passion. We're just like them. Lord, we need the Lord to speak this evening and say, not my way, not your way, my way. I am your sovereign Lord. Well, friends, secondly, coming to our text, we want to ask the question, why is this true? Why are the ways of God not our ways? Why are his thoughts not our thoughts? Well, firstly, friends, we must begin here. He is God, the sovereign Lord of all. Oh, he created the whole of the universe, and man upon the earth. He's created it for his honour and his glory. He knows the end from the beginning. Nothing is coming to pass by chance, but everything is being ordered by him. And is being ordered for his honour and for his glory and for the good of his people. He is the sovereign Lord of all. And it is a general principle of sovereigns. It is a general principle of rulers. Now, their ways are higher than the people's ways, and their thoughts are higher than the people's thoughts. Your boss at work, or the father and mother in the family, now they have to have those thoughts that are above your thoughts. They worry about tomorrow. They have the targets to fill at the end of the year. Whatever it may be, you get on in your little sphere doing the thing that you have to do today. But they are worried about tomorrow. They are preparing for next week and next year. It is something which comes with authority. It is something that comes with power. Oh, God is God. Oh, we make ourselves as God. That is the effect of the fall, isn't it? Oh, they shall become as God. And, we make ourselves God. We think we've got a right to do what we will. We think we've got a right to dictate. But God is our sovereign. He is over all. Oh, we are as sticks before him this evening. We are but cogs in his great machine, if I can put it that way. Friends, we are but a data point in his plan. Far more than that if we're one of his people this evening. Everything is revolving round us. As the earth revolves round the sun, everything that comes to pass in the earth is coming to pass for the good of his church, for the gathering of his people, and the gathering them safe to glory. But this is why my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord, because he is the Lord. The Lord Jehovah, Or as he revealed himself by that name there to Moses at the burning bush and said, I am that I am. Oh, the only self-existent being, the eternal Lord God. Until we're brought to receive him as God. Until our heart is changed. And we're no longer at enmity with him. And we're no longer just got the carnal mind. We've got our mind renewed by grace. For the carnal mind receiveth not the things of God. Until we're brought to receive him as our God, as our sovereign Lord. Until we're brought to bow before him and confess we are nothing before him. We will not understand our text. And we will not seek to know something of it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Then, friends, our God is holy and righteous in all his dealings. Oh, he never does anything wrong. And he never does anything which is sin. There is never any black mark against his doings. But we are sinners. We've got an old nature. And we have to prove in our thoughts how often sin is mixed with our thoughts. And in our ways, sin is mixed with our ways. Pride. We want things to work out for us. We want things to work out for the good of our name. Our friends, our ways, our thoughts are sinful. Perhaps sometimes we're motivated by greed or by hatred towards somebody else. Our friends, your ways this evening, your thoughts, oh, examine them before the Lord. Come and pray with the psalmist, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Oh, can you say this evening your thoughts are pure? Can you say your ways are pure? Or do you have to come and say with the hymn writer, my very best is dyed with sin, my all is nothing worth. If that's what you have to say this evening, then you'll know why. Your thoughts are lower than God's thoughts, and your ways are so much inferior than God's ways, because his ways, his thoughts are perfect. Your ways and your thoughts are sinful and imperfect. Oh God, he is, as Medley sums it up, too wise to err and all too good to be unkind. Our friends, he knows the end from the beginning. There's no searching of his understanding. But you see, we don't know tomorrow. We can't look into the future. Therefore, our ways and our thoughts will always be inferior to his. Oh, he that is wise, he that knows the future, will plan for the future. And his ways will be far superior to those who take no thought of the morrow, who do not understand what's going to happen tomorrow. But God knows all. Oh, he knows the end. And all the plans of his plans, all his thoughts, and all his ways are working toward that end. Oh, our ways are so often characterized by foolishness and ignorance and darkness. But there's no darkness with him. No too wise to err. And oh, too good to be unkind. Ah, his thoughts, his ways. As he said to his people by the prophet Jeremiah, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's why his ways are higher than your ways. And that's why his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Oh, dear child of God, his thoughts towards you, they're thoughts of love and mercy and grace and goodness. And every one of his thoughts and every one of his ways is characterized by those words. Oh, characterized by those truths. Ah, he's doing good to you this evening. Everything he's bringing to pass is full of mercy. And it's in grace to your soul. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And then, friends, oh, finally, giving some reasons why his ways and thoughts are higher than your ways and your thoughts. Oh, he has his eye upon eternity. Oh, everything he is doing. Ah, friends, it is ruled by the unseen. We're creatures of a day. We cleave to the dust. Now we're looking for time things. So often it's time things which are so big with us. Oh, but the apostle speaks, doesn't he, of not looking on the things which are seen, which are temporal, but looking at the things which are unseen, which are eternal. Our friends, God always has his eye, if I can put it that way, on the big purpose, bringing every one of his sons to glory and none being left behind. Whereas our thoughts and our ways, oh, they're so often earthbound. It's about us today. It's about what's going to happen to us tomorrow. We have no power to raise our thoughts above the ground. or to set them upon eternal things of ourselves. No, therefore, his thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are his ways our ways. Well, friends, finally this evening we want to come to a few words of application. What does this mean to you this evening? What should it mean to you? What are you seeking this evening? Your way or God's way? Your thoughts or God's thoughts? Oh, it's a searching question, isn't it? Have you said today, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done? That's where grace brings a soul. That's where grace brought the apostle Paul, a Saul of Tarsus, upon the Damascus road. Oh, as soon as grace began to work, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? It was, Lord, what is thy way for me? What is thy thoughts for me? Or have you made your plans today without any thought of God's way? Without any thoughts of God's thoughts for you? Oh, it's a searching question. How much is it your concern to know what God's way is for you? What God's thoughts are for you? Oh, it should be our primary concern, because his thoughts, they are the thoughts that will come to pass. His ways are the perfect ways, and they're higher than our thoughts and higher than our ways. And therefore it should be our chief concern, what is God's way and what is God's thoughts? Well, that brings us to the question, how do we know what God's ways are? How do we know what God's thoughts are? His way may so often seem hidden to us, and in providence it is. There is a secret will of God. We're not told what will happen to us tomorrow. You're not told what will happen when you wake up tomorrow morning. But in his word, he's revealed unto us some of his thoughts and some of his ways, and sufficient of his thoughts and sufficient of his ways, that we have sufficient light for everything that will be required of us in time and everything that concerns us in eternity. The word of God. Now, friends, it is God's revelation of his way and his thoughts. Therefore, if you would know what God's thoughts are and what God's ways are, you must come to the word of God. Because it's there his thoughts and his ways are revealed. Some, they look other places. They look to their own thoughts. They look to their own experience. But no, the word of God is the only infallible guide to all things that we shall pass through in this life. And for the things that concern us in eternity. It's to come to the word of God. And how must we come there? With prayer. Pleading that the Holy Spirit will lead us. That he will open unto us what God's ways are. That we might understand those ways. That we might understand what God's thoughts are. But then, friends, it's one thing to know what God's way is. It's another thing to walk in it. And perhaps you know that this evening. You know the word of God is telling you this is right and that's wrong. But your old nature is saying, I will not do that which is right. You still cleave to that which the word of God said is wrong. You still want your way rather than God's way, and you want your thoughts rather than God's thoughts. You know, friends, there's only one thing that will cause you to change, and that's grace. Oh, the grace of God. The teaching and leading of the Holy Spirit. That grace of submission. Oh, we have to seek it at the throne of grace. The hymn writer puts it like this, nor leave me till I say, Father, thy will be done. Oh, make me willing. Make me willing. Conform me to thy will. Bring me in acquiescence to thy thoughts. How often is that your prayer? It is the prayer of the Lord's people. And you'll find it's a prayer that you have to pray all your life, because you will always have old nature that will not want God's way and will not want God's thoughts, but will want your way and God's and your thoughts. And it's a wrestling. It's a warfare. But he says, the case that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me. Oh, come to the throne of grace. Plead for grace. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in thy weakness. You see, Paul thought he would be far better if he lost his thorn. Paul thought he'd be far better if that tribulation was taken away from him, but God said no. He wouldn't answer Paul's prayer in the way Paul wanted. Paul prayed three times, but God said no. 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 But he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in thy weakness. Now when God spoke, Paul was made willing. willing to bear with that thorn. And he says, I glory in mine infirmity. Ah, to be brought there this evening, to be given grace, to glory in that infirmity, made willing to go the way God would have you to go, even if that suffering, even if that is loss of all things for the sake of Christ. Ah, but you know, it's peace. It's comfort to the Lord's people to know they're walking in his way, and they're walking in his thoughts, because his way is best. And his thoughts, ah, they're full of goodness and mercy to his people. Then, friends, do you know the comfort of God's thoughts this evening? We've already quoted those beautiful words. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh, you read through the word of God concerning God's ways and God's thoughts. You'll never find anything spoken against them. No, they're perfect. They're good. Friends, they are peace to the Lord's people. Written over them all is love. The word of God cannot speak too highly about God's ways and God's thoughts. And I'll leave you now to search it out yourself. Oh, friends, that we read the word of God to see these things more often, because what comfort there is, particularly when the Lord says no to your way. And when he doesn't answer your prayer. And when he says, no, I'm not going to submit to your thoughts. It's my thoughts here. Now, the comfort of the Lord's people is to know that his way is best, his thoughts are best. Oh, do you know that comfort this evening? Can you leave your tomorrow? Can you leave your children? Can you leave your husband and wife in his thoughts and in his ways? Knowing that his ways and his thoughts are best. But then, finally, in closing this evening, I want to come to the context of our text. Perhaps we've said quite a lot this evening about his ways and his thoughts in providence. But the context of our text is about God's ways and God's thoughts in grace, in salvation. He says at the beginning of this chapter, how everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, friends, there's only one way of salvation. It's not your works. We are not saved by works, but by grace alone. And yet, you know, we keep saying, old nature keeps saying, my way, my thoughts. If only I can turn over a new leaf. If only I can pray a bit more. If only I could read the word of God a bit more, then I'd have some hope of salvation. No. God says, not your way, not your thoughts. No, my way, my thoughts. There's only one way of salvation. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, that's the text in context. Our friends, this evening, are you looking to yourself for salvation? Are you looking some other way than Jesus Christ? He is the only way of salvation. God says, my ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts, my thoughts. No, it's look to Jesus. It's look to Jesus. Oh, you can read on. And it speaks here about seeking the Lord while he may be found, and calling upon him while he is near. And perhaps there's one here this evening that's saying, well, I'm going to leave this till tomorrow. I'm still young. Got plenty of time to consider these things. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You think you've got tomorrow. It may not be God's way to give you tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come for you. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, two things here. Now, you know, we want to cleave to the things of this world. We still want to have our sins and Christ left to ourselves. But God says, leave them. Leave them. You've got to leave the things of sin. This is repentance. Friends, we cannot have salvation without repentance. Old nature says, I still want those things. I still want to keep them. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And then, perhaps there's one here this evening that says, I'm too great a sinner. If only you knew what a sinner I was, you'd understand why there can never be any hope of mercy for me. But no, God says, Ah, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, he says to the blackest of sinners, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You cut yourself off, but I say come. I say come. I will save. I will abundantly pardon. And then you can read on. Oh, the preaching of the gospel. The word of God shall not return unto him void. How often the Lord's servants feel they've spent their strength and aught. How often we may send forth the word of God, perhaps give out a gospel or a tract, and we're tempted to think, ah, it's all nothing, all nothing. But he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. No, what we think is feeble, he's pleased to bless. And what we may expect to be abundantly blessed, there's no fruit from it. Ah, friends, he is sovereign, he will have all the glory. Oh, the end of everything you see is glory. Glory to him and to him alone. It's his thoughts and it's his ways which will be the subject of praise in eternity to come. And particularly his way of salvation. Oh, that Jesus Christ should have all the glory. Ah, friends, he got all the glory here this evening. He's got all the glory in your life, in your soul. That's God's way. That's God's thoughts this evening. Ah, that in all things he should have the preeminence. Has he got the preeminence this evening? Ah, if you've had to come as a poor sinner, with nothing of yourself, if you've had to come empty, loathsome, bare, ah, friends, if you had to come without money and without price, and if you're clinging alone to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, then I believe, ah, you will know his way is higher than your way, and his thoughts higher than your thoughts. And you'll bless him, that it's his way and not your way. Ah, that there is salvation, that he may be feared. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen.